Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa.
And America. Hi, guys.
We're here in our podcast, In the Open. And today we're going to talk about the question, will this last forever? Which is how mental illness sucks because it feels like forever, or is there a cure? Is there another question that we think of that kind of reminds us of that question or what you might look up?
Will I feel this way forever? I think it's a very rational kind of conversation.
Yeah.
The one that happens in your mind, right? Like, why can't I get better? Or is there an end to this somehow? That's not in crisis.
A different kind of crisis.
Yeah.
The slog crisis where you're stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
With yourself. I think it's worthwhile to talk about what that is like for people and why this is a specific question that a lot of people ask about mental health, right? Do other people in other health problems ask, is this forever? Like cancer?
I don't think it's the same thing because in many ways, mental illness is something that continues to be very much self-defined. So, you know, like cancer and another kind of disease like or diabetes or something, right? You can take medication or you can get treatment like chemotherapy or you start taking insulin, which could be forever for some folks, but there's like a finite thing that you're supposed to do, like supposed to do in quotes, and then you're supposed to get better. Mental illness, depression, anxiety, all that stuff doesn't always necessarily work out that way because there's so many pieces to the puzzle that have to come together.
Or it feels so slippery, like because it's your brain and you move out in and out of these periods and these thoughts, like it's always looming like a monster. It just feels different.
Yeah.
I feel like the way that I feel about my mental health problems and the way I feel about my hemorrhoids.
Will those last forever? I hope not. Jeez Louise, man.
They are forever, but I don't think about my hemorrhoids in the same way as I think about my mental illness. I would say people who have pain, like physical pain, that's probably the physical equivalent of that. That's a lot like mental health because mental health problems are like living in emotional pain. And that kind of suffering is so overwhelming. So when you're in that really bad space, I think people look up that question because they're like, is this ever going to end? Like, I cannot continue to feel this level of suffering without something happening. And that's the point you get to when you start to look this question up, right? It probably is a sign that you have to make some kind of change soon because it doesn't have to last forever. But it does suck. Like, this is a sign that it sucks enough. Like, get out of that place.
You know, when we talk to people that have either contemplated suicide or are survivors or you know, have attempted suicide, they feel that there's this desperation and the belief that this is never going to change.
Yeah.
And I think some of that arises from the fact that there's a lot of fear in sharing whatever you're thinking and whatever you're struggling with. So then it becomes this thought and it is kind of like a monster, and this monster that you see because it's just for you. When you look in the mirror, it's just you, right? Nobody is saying anything else but you.
Yeah.
So it's this struggle where you have to come to terms and say, okay, is it this place that I have no control over, or do I not know how to get a grasp of this to be able to move past it and not get to the point where you're thinking that suicide or something, you know, like that is an option.
And that's true. Like, the desperation is, I think, an important thing to help people know that you'll get into the space where you will feel incredibly desperate and also powerless. And it is a sign that your mental health problems have gotten to the next level, because that is how people feel when their mental health problems get very serious. But we're also touching on something else that's hard about the forever and the feeling of control, which leads people to feel that way, which is like as a brain-based illness, there's nothing that I can look at. We can give people brain scans, I guess, for everybody, but it's so expensive and nobody does it, right? We make guessing games with whether or not we have mental health problems. So like there's nothing that I can look at and say, this is my depression, and then take it out of that feeling of total lostness or a lack of control, so that otherwise it just feels so overwhelming. Like it's controlled your whole life and you're like, I don't even know the way out from the space that I'm in, which is why you're wondering if it's, this is everything, or this is your new reality, which is something that you kind of touched on.
Yeah. I think there comes a point, you know, in kind of all this space of when something is kind of looming and whatever that may be, mental health, addiction, all of these things that in somehow or another become these shadows that are just part of who we are, essentially. There's this place where you kind of have to give in and understand it's reached a point that it's no longer me functioning in this space. It's this shadow functioning instead of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like it's completely taking over. So the idea of feeling like life sucks, nothing's getting better, there's nothing for me to really look forward to because I don't know that there's another option to get better, then it does lead people to think, okay, well, what's the next thing?
If this is forever.
So,
which is, it says something about the first time that you struggle with mental illness, because I think for people who experience mental illness and then get out of it, then you know, like, oh, that's what life was like before mental illness, and then with mental illness, and then without mental health symptoms, even though mental illness is there, like my mental illness is never going to leave me. But when you get better for the first time, I think you can look back and go, okay, I know what that feels like to not feel as bad as I was before. But then there's another level of the forever that comes, which is like, is it going to come back? Like, is my forever always anticipating that I am going to fall apart again? Which is a different kind of feeling, like, is this forever?
For many people, there is somewhat of a misunderstanding about mental illness because you have an idea of what it's supposed to look like based on what we see on TV and all this crap that's out there. But when you start talking to people that have actually lived with anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, anything, right? There is this whole learning curve that has to happen for the individual to be able to get to a place to say exactly what you're saying, right? This was me before. I didn't quite understand all these pieces, but now looking back, I understand that, you know, the way I thought about this was not the best way. So I had to modify my thinking. Or you use things that definitively change your perspective because you're able to, in some way or another, feel kind of like a glimmer of hope for you to find something that is going to continue to help you kind of seek out more information, more support, and get to a place where you're going to eventually feel better.
Yeah. Well, so the question is, are mental illnesses curable?
I guess it depends.
Depends? I was straight up going to say no.
I say depends because there are some situations where depression could be situational. For example, let's say I've been through like a traumatic event, you know, like a really bad car accident, you know, I've been assaulted or something like that. The impact of that event could definitely take me down like a negative path in terms of my mental health, which may lead me to have some depression, some PTSD. But with the right tools and support, there may be a point where I no longer feel the way that I feel in that kind of negative space.
So the question of like, are mental illnesses curable is also like, will mental illness come back? So I think for like a science perspective or something, the concept that something is curable is like, if I give you this pill or like do this bloopity bloop thing, that you'll just never experience depression or weird thoughts ever again. Versus like, can I have depression one time in my life and have it never come back?
Yeah, those are different questions. Correct.
But the same. Yes. It's like different, but the same. And I think that it's a different question, but it's the same when it comes to like, this is what people are actually asking. And the answer then is like, yes, I think it's like 45% of people experience depression and then it doesn't come back. And there are also a whole bunch of other people who experience voices and seeing things and hearing things. And these things come and they go and then they never come back. But for some percentage of people, maybe it's the first time that they experience it. And those mental health problems absolutely do come back. So in mental illness, there's this concept of recurrence, right? That's like the word, that things are recurring. And that's something that people will say like, oh yeah, I've had an episode or something. And that's the way that people talk about when their stuff comes back. But cure, like a cure?
No, there's no cure. There's not a fix it all.
Yeah.
Take this pill and you're forever going to be fine.
Because people aren't light switches. This is part of like helping people understand, especially on the like your friend or your husband or your mom or your dad, when they, you know, I think this is an area that's hard for people to understand who don't feel mental illnesses. They want us to like just get better, like get up and like it's a light switch, right? Like mental illnesses aren't a light switch. There's no cure. I didn't just like suddenly go to the therapist that you wanted me to go to and all of a sudden I'm magically better. Mm-hmm. I also think we all have brains. We all know what that's like to like have a brain, and our brains are basically like other freaking muscles in our body.
I hope we all have a brain.
We do. Well, some of us don't.
You crack
Sometimes
me up.
I don't want to have a brain. But people don't think about that. Like if you have a brain, you're at risk of mental health problems. Just like you have legs, you're at risk of somebody coming by and chopping your Achilles heel. And that's what having a mental illness feels like. It feels like somebody literally like chopping parts of your leg off. And then when somebody is like, oh, you should just pick yourself up and mental illnesses are, you know, you don't have mental illnesses or we did the thing. It's like saying, well, I chopped off part of your leg and now you should just start running again. Like, you know,
right.
And those ideas, I think they're like really toxic to people who are trying to get better.
That's a good word.
Yeah, it's toxic.
Because you take on that toxicity. In many ways, when you don't have the right support, you feel that that's what's supposed to happen. Like, I am going to go to therapy and then, oh, look, I'm all shiny and bright and new and everything's fine and happy. And it's like, nah, dude, that's not life.
That's the pressure, though.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
When you have a mental illness, there's a pressure to feel like, oh, I need to pretend like I'm shiny and pretty and fine for everybody who's like walking around me, like wondering if things are going to happen again. Which is why you're like, oh my gosh, is this my life now? Like I just, all these other expectations and things like that. So it's unfortunate. I wish we could say to people, and there may be some future where there's some bloopity bloop and we could cut out some parts. But I also meet people who have come to the other side of the darkness and who can see their illness. And also because I think you have to try and see a positive thing from it, like wouldn't cut out that part of their brain if they had the choice. They would be like, that is makes me who I am. I'm a survivor. It makes me strong. I'm a badass. Like I am better for it. Even though going through the experience was tragic and awful and horrible, I asked if there was a cure at the beginning, but now I know there isn't, but it's not the end of the world. Like getting better is possible.
I think that's the way to think about it instead of coming to this finite answer of, is there a cure? Yes or no? Because not everything is that black and white, you know? And is there an opportunity for you to get better? Yes. I think there's always an opportunity to be better. And finding the right direction to help you get better is, you know, another piece to that puzzle. And I think that's what, when you start thinking about individuals and all the crap that we deal with on a regular basis as people and our families and work and all that stuff, is finding the right route, you know, the right street you're supposed to be on to be like, okay, man, I can pull from here and figure out what's going to help me get to that other side.
So what do we tell people like to do if things feel like forever?
I would say accept the fact that it's okay to feel that way. One, because it's scary as hell. Mm-hmm. And two, you have to be able to move past that acceptance and put forth some, I don't want to say effort, because it's not like people aren't trying, but it's like, take the step to say, I have to try to figure out what is going to do more for me.
I like that, though, because the idea is that we can't take on the expectations that people want to put on us that we're supposed to get better right away.
Right.
Because already, like, it's already hard to work on this stuff. So we talk about, like, don't look at your life and think about whether or not, like, you're different from last week. Because that's too...
Yeah, that's too narrow.
That's too short. If you're working on your junk and you look back, you want to look back 6 months. Am I better than I was 6 months ago? And whatever is better, you give yourself all the credit in the world for making that extra leap. Because what you're essentially battling is that your brain is trying to kill you. So it's incredibly hard. And yeah, I love, that's absolutely right, right? Like, just first of all, letting go of some of the expectations that we have that we're just supposed to be able to fix ourselves right away is huge. What about the feeling of desperation, though? Like, let's talk about the first time somebody is struggling with this, is this forever? And they don't even know where to start or how to get out of a bad space because they don't have any experience with what works.
One of the things that I always tell people is to try to find others that they may feel connected to. And I know that that's hard because that doesn't always exist. But where we are now in terms of technology and everything, there's a lot of forums, right, online, like our Inspire community, where you don't necessarily have to participate in these forums. You know, you can go in and chat with people or whatever, but you can spend a lot of time reading other people's stories. And what most often will happen is something's going to hit you from one of these stories and be like, dude, that's my life, man.
Yeah.
Like, what you're saying is me every day, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe you get to a point where you're like, whoever it is, Joe, you know, on the other end, it's like, Joe, you know, I read your story. That's me, you know, maybe we can chat. And I know it's hard to do that because you are in some sense putting yourself out there, but there is a safe space in that you're separated by the internet, right? Joe from Wisconsin has no idea that it's me, America, in Alexandria, you know?
Yeah.
And that may help to bridge a little bit of the loneliness that one can exist in when they're in this place of desperation. But then there is another component to that where you're saying, dude, if that's what they're living like, and this is what I'm living like, and there are like 50 people on these things that are talking about the same thing, it's not just me.
Well, and you're talking about hope. Oh, I think that's true, that the only answer to will this last forever is the internet gives you an option to see other people getting better and looking back. So if you're not in a place where you feel like you can get out of the hole that you're in, you can read about other people who've crawled out of the hole. You can see that hope is possible because I think that is the first step to not feeling like this is forever, is finding the kernel of hope for your own life and believing that for reals, that the way you feel is not how you are going to feel forever. It doesn't mean that work isn't in store because it is painful and it's like surgery and it takes time to heal. But when you're in that space and that's so painful, it feels like maybe I will be broken. So you have to turn to other people to remember that you can get better, so you could take the first steps to get better. I heard that that's absolutely right. It's not trying to find the right treatment options. That's all, yes, practical solutions, yes. But the first real thing is to make sure that you actually believe that you can get better.
You know, that ties though to kind of everything that we do as people. You have to put some effort into it. You have to work towards it. And it is making a decision to find hope when nothing in front of you is making you see that there is hope. It's like digging through all this rubble and crap and just looking for that little glimmer of light that says, dude, I can totally move past this. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
Especially when you're trying.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you've tried and you've tried and you feel like I have done X, Y, or Z in all these things, to figure out how to make things better and nothing feels like it's getting better. I feel like those situations are the hardest times to be in your life, because it does, you do get to a point where you're like, maybe this is my new reality and this is my norm. And technology and treatment options and supports or insights, like learn, like realizing something about your life, is like, it's a constant changing process. So I've met people who've been struggling for years and something comes out where they're like, try this new thing, and it's the turning point. And everybody has their own process and their own time. So I think when it comes to that question you mentioned earlier around suicide, I think that for us, the fear is that somebody's going to choose suicide because they feel like it's forever and that'll be the end. But there's no coming back from that decision. Once you go down that path, that's it. That's done. So you're not even around for how it might work and when it does work and what life can look like when it's better. And we see so many people who do get better that we believe that recovery is possible and growth and the beauty of recovery and hope is possible.
I like what you're saying, but I guess it's kind of the cynical part of my personality to be like, I know what you're saying. Like, my brain is completely on board with what you're saying. But then I think about life and this aspect that, like, there's people around you that are going to consistently try to say, oh, but you should go to therapy. Oh, have you tried this medication? Or did you do this? Or did you do this? Or did you do this? To try to get you, because they're concerned, right? And I get their concern. But I got to make all these other people's opinions of what I'm supposed to do with myself and how I'm supposed to get better, and choose to say, I need to figure this out. If I like yoga, okay, I'm going to go try yoga. If I've never done anything related to yoga and my thing is art, then like dive into art, you know? So that's why the cynical part of me is just like, life sucks sometimes for a lot of people for a long time. That doesn't say, and that's not there to say that life can't get better. And that's like the positive person in me that's like, dude, it has to get better.
Well, you're saying it's cynical, but you're also being positive. We're saying
this is what happens with my brain on a regular, okay?
We're both cynical, or like, that's the problem. Like, you're always afraid of the looming doom, but I think we want to believe, and we do believe that things can get better. And that's why things don't last forever, because we see people get better. So the answer ultimately is there is no actual cure, but you don't have to suffer for mental illness forever. And many people come in and out and leave mental illness behind forever. Even if you feel like life sucks, or you're always, anxiety is always there, but I know how to crush it and ninja skill that crap away.
So at the end of the day, the whole idea of what we're saying is you can get better.
Yeah.
That's it. Keep on fighting in the open, man. That's the only way to go.